Okay, so it's time to get started. Good evening. Should we pray? All right. Father in heaven, thank you for tonight. We do thank you again for just a time in the middle of our week to come together again, to look into your word, to learn from it. And I do pray your blessing upon this, Father, as we, again, as we look at our world and the degrading that's taking place in it, Father, I pray that we would be part of the solution rather than part of the problem. And Father, I do ask that you would educate us on these plentiful teachings in the world, many of them designed and certainly propagated by the devil himself. And I pray, Lord, that we would be aware of his tactics, that we might be not caught up in them. And I thank you for the truth of your word, where we can take something right from you and compare these teachings and understand why they are false. Thank you for the truth of who you are, your love for us, and Lord, just the way you desire to grow us and prepare us to be ministers of yours in this world. Ask your blessing now upon our time, and it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, just a few review questions. What did we talk about last week? The devil?
Doctrines of demons,
okay. Satanism, okay. We talked about Satanism. What is Satanism? Okay, the worship of Satan. In fact, as Satan came and tempted the Lord himself, that was actually what he put forth. He said, if you'll worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. So it is the worship of Satan. What is the allure? What is it that Satan offers that attracts people? Self-gratification. Okay. Power. I actually gave you three P's. You remember? Power was one of them. Pride and possessions. And what did we note about those things? I said something specific about those three things, Jeff. Okay, that's right. Our sin nature does gravitate toward those things. They are things that tempt us all the time. What else did I tell you about those three things as it pertained to the overall scope of our study? Okay, and it was actually what caused the fall of Adam. Ron?
All of the future things that we're going to look at all come back to that.
Okay, everything that we're going to look at through the course of this whole series, while you're going to, with some of them, you may wonder where the connection is. If you dig deep enough, you're going to find that they all root in those tactics of the allure of power and possessions and personal pride. Well, tonight we're going to look at the topic of witchcraft or paganism. And right from the mouth of a self-proclaimed witch, she said that witchcraft and paganism are related. She said they're very closely connected. She said that witchcraft really is just one of the thousands of spiritual paths included within the category of paganism. And paganism is a general term really for any, and this is what she said, any earth-based and often polytheistic religious structure. That's what paganism, it's always earth-based, that's what she said. And I'll just tell you that as I began this topic, and I was very overwhelmed by the amount of religions, okay, that witchcraft or paganism is connected to. I was very overwhelmed with the amount of information on this topic. So what we're going to cover in the next hour is only going to scratch the surface, okay? We're just going to look at the base doctrine. But witchcraft or paganism is our topic, and from a Christian perspective, know that there is virtually no difference whatsoever between Satanism, what we looked at last week, and witchcraft or paganism. But from a worldly perspective, Satanism has Satan as the outright center of worship, while witchcraft has a really, really diverse, they're very diverse in what they think they are worshiping. Where some so-called white witches, or they call themselves good witches, okay, they would say we worship nature. There are other so-called dark witches that worship the power of divine entities that they have access to. Both of them think, here's one thing they both have in common, is they both think that they are the ones in control of the supernatural power they are connecting with. All right. But witchcraft in general, and here's kind of our doctrine, but witchcraft in general is the belief in and practice of supernatural skills and ability, okay? Witchcraft in general is the belief in and practice of supernatural skills and abilities. And kind of like with a lot of the supernatural things, I believe that the vast majority of those who claim to believe in witchcraft never really do anything supernatural. There are those that do, all right? And whether a person does something supernatural or not doesn't really matter, okay, in the grand scheme of things. Okay, Satan's goal is not their empowerment. Rather, his goal is their desire for power. If it keeps them from Jesus, Satan wins. That's what it is. It's kind of like the lottery. The goal of the lottery is not to make everyone rich. The goal of the lottery is to keep them thinking they can. All right, and that's really Satan's goal in witchcraft and in paganism, in all of these supernatural genres. It's not so much that they can actually use supernatural power. He just keeps them thinking that perhaps they can. And like with the lottery, as people keep thinking they can win it, the state wins. All right, and with Satan, through witchcraft and the possibility of supernatural power, Satan wins. Witchcraft is probably the oldest religion in the world. And as I thought about that statement, what religion were Adam and Eve? No religion whatsoever. It was a personal relationship with the Lord, wasn't it? Okay, and I want you to understand that. So when I make a statement like witchcraft or paganism being the oldest religion in the world, we're talking about a practice, okay, a practice. So witchcraft is probably the oldest religion in the world, having its roots in paganism and the mediation of shamans, which is really just another word for witch. Even in Scripture, in Joshua chapter 24, verse 2, it says this, "And Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods." So the fathers of Abraham, they were pagans. They were pagans. Witchcraft encompasses like I said, a whole huge variety of things. It was really, really overwhelming to look into it and find just how many veins that it stretches through in various religions. But it encompasses everything from sorcery to superstition, from channeling to healing, from curses to omens, from spell casting to potions, from nature worship to necromancy. And Lord willing, we're actually, because it's such a big category, we're going to take the division of necromancy, which is really the supposed communication with the dead and the spirit world. We're going to kind of break that off into a separate topic, Lord willing, next week. But the divisions of paganism and witchcraft are very, very widespread. For tonight, we are going to look at witchcraft in general. Again, it is the belief and practice of supernatural skills and abilities. This will be a general view to the degree, as I did the research, that it would probably offend some witches and sorcerers that I would lump it all together like that, okay? But anyway, we're gonna do that. It is, and really the bottom line is, no, that it all comes from the same source anyway. Okay, it is all linked. It all comes from the same source. And with that, I'm going to start us off tonight with an old music video. It's from 1983. You will be able, yeah, I know, you know, that was the year I graduated, so it's old for me. 1983.
Almost a year I retired.
Wow, Roger, you're old. That's. I had no idea. You look so young. I wouldn't have guessed it. All right, let's get back on topic. In the early 80s, or I should say, yeah, early 80s through the 90s, there was a contemporary Christian artist named Carmen. And he was best known for songs that told a story. And that is what we're going to look at tonight. In fact, as you're going to see, there isn't much singing at all going on. He's just basically telling a story to music. But the video is called A Witch's Invitation. Oh, Carmen, that right after Janine and I first became believers, my brother would shower us with music like that. And I played it tonight because there were a lot of truths shared in that. Okay, he talked about the fact that this guy thought he was in control of the ones that he was contacting, when in reality he was just their puppet. And then what was the other thing that I was thinking of? Yeah, it's left me now. But anyway, there are just a number of things in there that really, it'll come to me as we go through the notes, but it was something else that struck me there. And it seemed like I really needed to tell you what it was, but it's gone. All right, we'll catch it later. All right, the doctrine of witchcraft. We talked about it taking this power, but really here's what Satan is promoting as far as a teaching goes, is you can manipulate the world around you supernaturally for your benefit. You can manipulate the world around you supernaturally. You can have power, which is really reminiscent of what we looked at last week. Remember, that's one of the P's, power. And he says you can control your life. You can control the life of others by the use of supernatural power. And they attempt to do it through, really, witchcraft does through almost countless means. But here are three of the main ones associated most often with witchcraft. There's the casting of spells. You can manipulate people and objects around you through calling upon unseen powers that are beyond you. In fact, as I was doing this research, the one woman that I got a lot of my information from, she gave a lot of examples of what people do as far as casting spells. And she noted that there's a fellow in New York City that casts a spell on his bicycle every night so it won't get stolen. So far, so good, I think. But anyway, there's the casting of spells, the making of potions. You can manipulate the people around you and the objects around you by the use of earthly elements and infusing in the unseen powers that are supposedly in them. And then the conjuring of spirits. You can manipulate the people or objects around you by enlisting the aid of entities. And again, next week we're going to spend a little bit more time on that one. One interesting thing about witchcraft, as I looked at some of the things from of old and some of the things concerning the witchcraft of today, is it seems to evolve with society and the people groups from where it comes, okay? As society changes, it appears that witchcraft actually changes, and I think that's smart on Satan's part. So as I looked for the basic tenets of witchcraft, I found that there really aren't any. Okay, there really aren't any. The tenets of witchcraft today are very different from the tenets of witchcraft, say, 200 years ago. In fact, the tenets of witchcraft are very different depending upon what part of the world that you are in. And so as worldviews or societies change, so does the witchcraft, which is another proof that really the same small g god rules them both. But here's something interesting. I read this in the Christian Post, and they reported this back in 2013, so 3 years ago. And at that point in time, they said that there were more than 200,000 people who declared themselves to be witches in the United States. And there, as far as their statistics could tell, there were as many as 8 million people that were undeclared practitioners of the craft. In other words, while they would not label themselves as witches, they dabbled in the craft, okay? And it might just be as simple as going to a witch or going to a psychic and that sort of thing. And according to their statistics then, the Christian Post, he said, that makes witchcraft the second fastest growing religion in the United States after Islam. And the number of witches reportedly, as far as they could track this, doubles every 30 months. And it made me wonder, and I want you to know that in other parts of the world, witchcraft is actually the staple religion. But witchcraft is common the world over, and its prevalence can most easily be seen in Africa, okay, in Asia, in the Caribbean. In such countries, witchcraft practices might simply include the wearing of a snake belt to ward off death. It may include the consulting of dead ancestors to succeed in life or a project, or the manipulating of certain objects to inflict harm or death remotely upon another person. I read this in Johannesburg, South Africa, where it is very prevalent. Local witch doctors were actually called by the country's soccer authorities to cleanse Johannesburg's new national stadium before the World Cup. So in a national thing, they brought in the witch doctors to apparently cleanse the stadium. But in some parts of the world, witchcraft is a staple religion. But the doctrine, again, is you can manipulate the world around you supernaturally. So what is the allure, do you think? What is attractive? Obviously, power. All right. But what else would you think might be attractive about witchcraft? Possessions and pride. All right, very good. Okay, good answer. Mark.
From what I've seen, it doesn't appear evil. Like, I've looked at some different books, and it actually looks kind of nice, actually. Like, one thing I remember years ago, like, it was a spell for, let's say, child. You take their picture and put it in a little jar of honey and wrap a ribbon about it around it, just make it look nice.
How sweet. Jeff.
Well, the feeling is that witchcraft, well, hey, it could be used for bad and evil, or you can use it for good, and I'm going to use it for good.
Right, right. Okay, so, okay. Ron?
I think also it just has a fascination to it.
Yeah, there's, as with Satanism, there is something mystical that is very drawing to our old nature. Sarah?
Being able to reach the unknown.
Okay, okay. Right, yeah. Okay, very good. Christina?
She was just saying it's kind of exciting.
Yeah, it is kind of exciting. It can be. Laurie?
Is because you feel that you're in control of your environment instead of, and your will instead of God's.
Okay, okay.
You don't want to give your will up.
Being in control of your own life. Okay. 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 It's the image that Carmen put forth here is probably the most common image we think of when we think of witchcraft, kind of in an evil sense. But it was Mark that was saying that it can be portrayed. In fact, as I kind of shared with you that I believe that it does evolve with society, and in that regard, I want to read this to you. And these are not tenets, but right from a witch, a self-proclaimed witch online. These are the reasons that she gave that witchcraft is attractive. Here they are. She says, in fact, this is the way they labeled it. People that come into witchcraft, this is why they come into it. Here it is. A need for acceptance. In general, pagan groups have no restrictions against, and here it comes, homosexuality, bisexuality, or other gender status. Some gay and lesbian communities needing spiritual fulfillment will be drawn to Wicca and other pagan paths because they know they'll be accepted. That's right out of society's book today. Right out of society's book. Here's another one. A sense that there's something else out there. Sarah, so something else out there. For many people, the idea of a single God seems not only illogical, but people are just drawn to the polytheistic, the diversity of paganism. And what's interesting is this is Satan taking advantage of people that are searching. They're searching for meaning in life. They're searching for purpose in life, and he is intercepting them. She goes on. She says, a need to reconnect with nature. All right. She says, in our fast-paced society, more and more people are becoming aware of a need to get outdoors. What's better than getting outdoors? I mean, witchcraft is just camping. That's all it is. It's just camping. Anyway, the Wicca embraces the connection between man and nature, encourages people to find the divine in all of nature's creation. Sounds like Buddhism. Paganism, she says, for the most part is pretty flexible. There is no set doctrine, no universal big book of rules. I wonder what she's referring to. No church hierarchy. This means that people can practice their faith any way they like. And in the last thing she listed, here it is, a need for personal empowerment. Power. And really, that's the core of it right there. It all boils down to power. You can control your life and even the life of others through the use of supernatural powers. Now, the above teachings are promoted by the devil in all kinds of ways. Again, veins of paganism stretch into all kinds of weird areas. But we might wonder, is witchcraft really, is it really a tool of Satan that he uses in our country? And as I thought about that, you know, as we talked about Satanism last week, I told you, I don't know a Satanist. All right? And as I thought about this, I thought, I have met one witch in all my life. So is this really, really a tool or a tactic that Satan is using in our civilized country, in our day and age? And while the statistics say it's growing, how often do we personally see it in our day-to-day life? Well, here is an answer that might surprise you. In fact, I would venture to say that you and I have not only seen witchcraft a lot, but you and I have been attracted to it. And perhaps we have even helped propagate and promote it. It has become so commonplace. Witchcraft is so commonplace in our country that we might not even notice it. Okay. But have you ever watched a Disney movie? It's hard for me to think of Disney movies that don't contain some form of witchcraft, okay? And I'm guilty of promoting some of those movies. One of the best-selling book series of all time, Harry Potter series, which, by the way, is one of the few movies or book series that are geared toward children that actually contain actual Wiccan teachings, okay? They use actual books that witches in real life would use. One of the best-selling movie series of all time, Harry Potter series. If I'm not mistaken, there were 9 of them. Does anybody know? 8. Oh. All right, okay, there it is. All right, now if that didn't get you, the next one will. Another of the best-selling book and movie series of all time is Lord of the Rings. Okay, it contains a form or a promotion of supernatural, the supernatural. There are literally millions and millions of people, get this, and I'm talking millions and millions of people who are online in role-playing games, meaning they are living a life in a virtual world as, you guessed it, people with supernatural powers. These online games, again, literally millions of people playing them, Dungeons and Dragons. Dungeons and Dragons, I don't even know if you can, I guess you can get the board game anymore, but it's evolved, okay, past that. It is an online world, World of Warcraft, EverQuest, Skyrim. My daughter. Yeah, she plays Skyrim. My son. Anyway, the list goes on and on. So inadvertently, without us even realizing it, we are involved in things. Again, remember Satan's tactic isn't so much to empower people; it's to get them thinking that they can. All right, it's that possibility and anything that he can do to divert from Christ is a win-win situation for him. And I'm not even, I've listed some of the best-selling books, movies, and games. I mean, I think of TV shows and non-best-selling. I mean, it is everywhere. So Satan's goal, again, is not so much to empower people, but rather just increase that desire for it. And if it keeps them from Jesus, Satan wins. I want you to listen to an article. An article, again, this is by a different witch now that I found online. In fact, as I did this research, she appears to be, this one appears to be kind of the expert on all things pagan. But I want to read you part of an part of an article.
What are you drinking?
Water. With her trying to answer questions about witches. And these are things that she says witches want the world to know about them. And it is. It's all part of the allure. Okay? We're going to find here that the surface allure is, it conforms greatly to popular world views. Within this list are some common worldly tenets like tolerance, acceptance, environmentalism, universalism. Everyone has their own path, but at its root, the allure is power, manipulating the world around you supernaturally. All right, here's what she says witches want the world to know about them. Number one, we are not devil worshipers. Hands down, the most common thing our pagan readers wanted people to know is that we're not out worshiping the devil and eating babies in the moonlight. One reader pointed out, we're parents, we're spouses, soccer moms, hockey dads, just normal people who happen to worship differently. Many pagans identify as polytheists, but it's pretty rare for any to mention Satan. It is pretty rare for any mention of Satan to come into play. But she doesn't deny that it does. All right. Here's another. I've got actually quite a list of tenets. I'm just going to read, not tenets, but things she wanted us to know. Here's another one. She says, we're not worried about going to hell. Most pagans don't believe in the Christian concept of hell. Not only that, most of us accept magic as part of our daily life. For someone who is a practicing pagan or Wiccan, there's not much a concern about this sort of thing. I'll skip that. She says, forget the stereotypes. We're not all a bunch of black-clad teenagers with too much eye makeup and giant pentacle necklaces. We don't dress like Stevie Nicks. In fact, we're just like everyone else. She goes on, soccer moms, dads. Anyway, that's enough. That being said, if you know a witch, take the opportunity to share Christ with them because they need it. What is the truth? The truth is, witchcraft is Satan worship. They just don't know it. Okay? I want you to turn to a couple passages now. We're gonna go through a few passages of Scripture just to kind of close things out here tonight. But 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And let me read to you verse 19. It says there, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. So again, the truth is, witchcraft is, it is Satan worship, and they just don't know it. The whole world is under the sway of the wicked one. Basically, again, and I mentioned this last week, there are only two sources of supernatural in the world, God and his angels and Satan and his demons. So for a person who does not have a relationship with God, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, if they are tapping into the supernatural, it is not from God. Okay, and quite frankly, even with Christians, while we do have access to the power of God Himself, know that it's never available for our manipulation. Okay? And the only time that we are empowered by the supernatural power of God is when our aim and our action are for His glory. His glory. The Bible calls it being spirit-filled. Being spirit-filled is actually being empowered by the supernatural power of God Himself, and it is always for His glory. Galatians 4:8 says this. We don't have to turn there. It says, "But then, indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not God's." So, there is only two sources of the supernatural, okay? And witchcraft is Satan worship. They just don't know it. The truth is, secondly, witchcraft is a serious sin. It's not misunderstood, as they would claim online, okay? It is the enlisting of power from the originator of sin. And therefore, God takes it very, very seriously. It is not something to be toyed with. It is not something to be experimented with. As Israel began to occupy the Promised Land, God warned them of the seriousness of not participating or accepting in the pagan ways of the current inhabitants. In fact, if you want, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. And let me read to you verses 10 through 12. This is how serious God takes this. He says, "There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord God drives them out before you." So he wanted them to cleanse the land of paganism before they went in. In fact, if an Israelite was found to be practicing any of these things, Exodus 22:18 says, "You shall not permit them to live." If within God's chosen people, and He is specifically talking about Israel here, at that point in time, it was the death penalty for an Israelite to do that. God did not want it to spread through Israel the way it is in the world today. But God continues to take it equally serious now, and He will in the future. Revelation 21:8 says, "But the unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral," and he includes sorcerers, "idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Witchcraft is a serious sin. The truth is, pagans are Satan's puppets. They are his puppets. They think they are the ones in control. They think they're in control of the power that they are enlisting, when in fact they are just being used by him. In 2 Corinthians 2:11, Paul is talking about the need for forgiveness of one another. But he talks about unforgiveness being a tactic of the devil. And I think we mentioned this last week. And he says, "Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." We need to be aware of what's going on. But it also, by implication, we learn that the world, pagans,
they are ignorant of what they are tapping into. Where they think they're in control, they're not. They're Satan's puppets. The truth is, it is a counterfeit power. It's nothing. Nothing at all compared to God's power. It's not worthy of trusting in. It's not going to save anyone in the end. That was something that he mentioned in the video. You know, when that day comes and you're on your deathbed, who are you going to call on then? Who are you going to call on then? I missed it. I missed it. Ghostbusters. Not even the Ghostbusters can save you. Not even the Ghostbusters can. We are about out of town. I did want to give you two more here. Let me give you this passage, because we were talking about it is a counterfeit power. And in Isaiah chapter 47, if you've been writing these passages down, I'll just give you the reference. Isaiah 47, 10 through 14, there God is actually talking about the day of judgment. And he says, who are you going to call? Are you going to call your counselors, your stargazers, your astrologers, your prognosticators, okay? And he says, they're not going to save you. In that day, they are not going to save you. And he doesn't have Ghostbusters listed there, but if he had that terminology, he probably would have used it. The truth is, witchcraft paganism is rampant in the world. And while you may not know a witch, the doctrine is everywhere you look. We even have a holiday coming up that celebrates and glamorizes many pagan religions. And then again, the truth is, in closing here, they need Jesus. They need Jesus. I want to read you this last passage. It's from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. I want to point out one thing in particular here. He says there, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators nor idolaters." And the word that he uses there for idolaters refers to those who were pagans, okay? "Nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." And here's what I want to point out. He's telling this to the church at Corinth. He says, "And such were some of you." That's where you came from. And he goes on, he says, "But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God." And as we end tonight, know that, you know, it is rampant out there. And while not everybody is going to become a witch, not everybody is going to dabble in it, every single one of them out there are exposed to it. And again, we have a holiday. Well, I don't even like calling it a holiday because that means holy day, and it's not. We have a day coming up in our country that glamorizes that. And I would encourage you to take that opportunity. You can have people, children, coming to your door that night. And if you want to take one of these with you, this is a simple little tract that I made up a couple of years ago. You can cut them out. They're business card size. There's 10 per sheet. But if you want to take, there's sheets out there. If you want to take one of them, you make as many photocopies as you like. And I would hand them out with your candy. Okay, but they're just really simple, and the whole idea is not necessarily their conversion. We can pray for that, but to plant a seed, and really these things are right in line with what we've been looking at here. But anyway, I'm not going to read it to you. I'm out of time. I've taken too much, so we are going to go to comments and questions. Any thoughts, Bob?
You suppose that paganism is the basis for the huge interest in aliens, Star Trek, and all of this?
Yes. Can I just tell you, you stole some of my thunder. We're going to talk about that in a couple weeks. Oh, Bob, I was so excited about that lesson. So excited. Now you don't, no, it'll be a good one. I'm really excited about next week's, and there's a few more in between, but we are going to be talking about aliens, and I'm really excited about that lesson, but that's 3 or 4 weeks out yet. Other comments? Who else is going to steal my thunder? Felicia?
I just want to know, does hypnotism fall in the same...
You know, that's one of those things. I think it does to a degree, because the whole basis of hypnotism is the influence, allowing the influence of an outside party to affect our thinking. So if it isn't directly, I think it is opening a door of opportunity for it. Yeah, I do. Good question, though. That I'm glad you brought that up. That's...
Well, we have attended a church one time on vacation.
Okay.
I think it was a Baptist church. Anyway, just in conversation after church, talking to the pastor, realizing that his part-time job was a hypnotism.
Okay.
And
okay.
I found that to be very odd. Hypnotism. And I always wondered that.
And you know, I it's one of those things where hypnotism, I don't think there is a direct connection, but I think any time we open up our mind to an outside influence. I mean, literally opening up our mind, we're asking for trouble. I don't know if this is going to ruffle any feathers, but I think yoga, okay, is the same kind of thing. While, you know, a lot of people see yoga as just a bodily exercise, there are some tenets and teachings of yoga that come dangerously close to opening ourselves up to an outside influence. So we've ruffled some feathers, I'm sure. Jeff?
So, because certain levels of yoga depends on what the person's, you know, teaching and the style, but the tenets of true yoga is the influence.
For sure, for sure.
The control of the mind.
Like, but I would say, and I can't say the majority, but a lot of people look at it as just an exercise.
But it all comes with breathing,
for sure.
And control,
for sure.
And yep. Emptying yourself. And what it does is, like you said, now you're vulnerable.
Yep.
And so when you get comfortable with that, then what's the next step? If somebody comes along and says, well, you know, if you did that, you ought to try this.
Right.
Well, that was good. Let me...
And you know... Along those lines, and I think we're actually going to talk about this next week. If you perspective is everything, okay? But think about this. A Ouija board is only a piece of cardboard with letters on it. But what you're actually doing with it is you're opening up a possibility of a venue. Okay, so yoga, hypnotism, you know, you're dangerously close. Kate?
What about, like, acupuncture?
You know, I don't know enough about that, but the actual physical aspects of acupuncture, I think it's just, I don't know enough about it. I can't answer your question. What do you think about acupuncture?
Right.
Right. as far as I know, the physical aspect of it is just a physical thing. So, yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah. But it kind of has its roots in something else, right? Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But I think it is more physical.
Yeah. Christina. Yep.
I remember I was somewhere with some friends before I became a Christian. I said, "You want to read your horoscope?" And I said, "Sure." You know, I don't believe in it, but I was just, right. Yeah. Well, then my friend, who was a Christian, was there. She pulled me aside, bless her heart, and she said, "Christina, you know, I noticed you said, let me tell you what it showed. Let me show you in the Bible what it says about horoscopes."
Right.
And from that point on, I said,
yep.
"Whoa, I
yep.
had no idea."
Yeah.
No idea. Reiki.
What's that?
Reiki.
Reiki. Okay. I've heard of it. I'm trying to remember. It's been a while since I heard that word.
They take some crystals and
they right, right. Okay, okay. Yep. Stones, okay. Yeah. Lots, like I said, paganism, man, it just has fingers everywhere. Fingers everywhere. Other thoughts or questions? Diane? Right. Well, you know, it depends. Witchcraft, it kind of changes with society, okay? And if they called themselves a witch or if they were just using natural remedies, you know, it's hard to say. It's hard to say how they would have defined it.
From what I've read or seen movies or whatever,
right.
They didn't call themselves witches.
Okay.
They were calling them witches.
If they were tapping into a supernatural claiming that, then yes, they were.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But it just sort of faded away.
Yeah. Jeff.
About that during that time, you're talking about the Puritan.
For
age,
sure.
And
yeah.
So they were so legalistic, you know, the pendulum had swung over, became legalistic, so that anybody just swayed from what they were. That's what the witch hunt, having a witch hunt, that's what it was.
Right.
And that whole era, when you hear about the Salem witch trials and everything else, there were very few people that were actually burned at the stake.
Okay.
You know, when you
yep.
hear about it, you think that thousands, and it's not. There
right.
was a couple of dozen, you know, over a period of time, and then people quickly realized that they were doing wrong and it just stopped.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. Yes, Jill.
I'm wondering if the New Age movement is just getting more legitimate.
Oh, that's a cult.
It is. Yeah, like I said, the things that paganism has its finger in, New Age for sure, okay? In fact, we're going to be talking a little bit. In fact, I think I'm going to, I will have that under the lesson that I'm going to call universalism, which is all many spokes on the wheel, they all lead to the same thing, and that would be the philosophy of the New Age movement, yeah. Anything else? Mark?
Just one more. I don't know anything about it. What about like the Masons?
Freemasonry. Yep. It is a secret society, and they had rituals. I've got a book that, in fact, if you want to read it, I've got it. It's a very thin book, and it'd give you a little information on it if you're interested. So, yep. All right. Yes. Yeah. Anything else? All right. Oh, Joan.
I kind of like the good witch.
You. Do you know a good witch, Joan? Oh, it's a television show. Okay. All right. That's right. All right. Let's pray for Joan right now. No. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, it is, I guess, in one aspect, humorous at how many areas this topic has infiltrated, how many areas this doctrine, and so much of it, Lord, is fiction, it is made up, but nonetheless, Lord, people get caught up in it. They get fascinated with it. They're attracted to it. And truly, we understand that that is a tactic of the devil. And I pray that you would, while we are bombarded by it in our world, in our country, in our life, I do pray for your protection, that we would recognize, Lord, that it is deceiving. It is untrue. It is a distraction. And Lord, that we would not get so caught up and so focused on it that we would forget what we're really here for, what the truth really is. Father, I do pray for those that have been coming Wednesday evenings. And Lord, as we did tonight and will be going through some topics that could be uncomfortable. We could be hearing some truths, Lord, that we don't want to hear. I do pray that you would continue just to prepare our hearts and open them wide for the receiving of the truth from your word. And Lord, that when we hear things that potentially go against what we believe or what we want to believe, Lord, that the truth would win, that we would be convicted and even willing to change as a result of your conviction in our lives. Thank you for tonight, and thank you for your continued teaching of us. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.